From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name's Amanda Dunn. I'm the Politics and Society Editor for The Conversation, and I'm speaking with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, Anthony Albanese is still trying to deal with the Kimberley Kitching matter. She was a Labor Party senator who died recently from a suspected heart attack. And in the wake of her death, senior members of the Labor Party, including some of its most senior women, were accused of bullying her. How has Anthony Albanese handled this, and how do you think he ought to handle it from here?
Well, I think Anthony Albanese has had really a lot of trouble coping with this issue. It's been an incredibly difficult issue for any leader to respond to, I must say, because the friends and allies of Kimberley Kitching have been very strongly saying that she was bullied by the senior women in the Senate on the Labor side, who are led by Penny Wong, and also the Kitching supporters have said she was under stress because her pre-selection was still up in the air. Now, the Labor women deny the bullying allegation, although Penny Wong does admit that she made an unfortunate remark about Kimberley Kitching not having children during a discussion about climate change a couple of years ago. She said she apologised at the time, but she also expressed regret now again about that. From Anthony Albanese's point of view, at first he tried to throw a blanket over the issue. He thought it would go away. It didn't. The campaign by the Kitching supporters just increased. They demanded an inquiry into the bullying allegations. And Anthony Albanese has really not appeared much in public over the last few days when this issue has been running. For example, he wasn't out and about Sunday when you would have expected in the wake of the South Australian Labor victory he'd have wanted to be seen. He's not been out today, and he's resisted the idea of an inquiry. He has, however, written to the Labor Party and said that there should be a human rights award at each national conference to a Labor Party member who's promoted human rights, because this is an issue that Kimberley Kitching was very active on and won praise for her work there, and indeed an international award. He's also said that if people have suggestions to put forward about the internal processes in the Labor Party about behaviour and culture and so on, that they should do so, but he has resisted this pressure for an inquiry.
It also puts Anthony Albanese under a lot of pressure, which is something he has not been under recently. All the focus has really been on Scott Morrison and his team. How do you think he's performed under pressure?
I think it's interesting that he's found it so difficult to deal with this issue, because in the coming weeks in the campaign there is just going to be enormous pressure on him. And what you find in an election campaign is even small mistakes can be very costly, can blow out of all proportion. So if you don't stand up to pressure well, if you don't have quick and effective answers to problems as they arise, if you seem to be impatient and you misstep, you can lose a day or days in a campaign, and you can find that issues just escalate, even if they're very small issues, can escalate in a very damaging way. And I think that this whole question of how the opposition leader does stand up and will stand up to the pressure of campaigning is as yet an unknown, and is going to be quite a big thing.
Okay, and just moving on to the South Australian election from last weekend, Michelle, it was a very convincing win from the Labor Party, which ousted Stephen Marshall's Liberal Party after just a single term. What was really interesting about this, as many people have noted, is that it was the first time since the COVID pandemic began that a sitting government has actually been ousted. So does this mean that COVID is no longer a protection to incumbents?
Yes, I think it does mean that. There were a whole run of elections where obviously governments got rewarded for their behaviour during COVID, their handling of it. Whether it would have been a negative or positive in itself for Scott Morrison, I suppose, is another question, because while overall the national handling was good, nevertheless there were criticisms over the slow vaccine rollout and the absence of rat tests and so on. But anyway, I think that in election terms, we've moved beyond COVID. The South Australian Labor Party had a very specific and strong platform on the issue of hospitals and ambulance ramping. They also, of course, had a charismatic leader. And I think that those factors were very important in the Labor victory. There was a COVID element in the South Australian election in that the government there opened its borders at the very time when the Omicron wave hit, and that undoubtedly turned out to be not popular, because suddenly you had cases and deaths where before that South Australia had been pretty free of COVID.
Okay, and finally, Michelle, we will hear from the Treasurer on Tuesday evening, who will deliver the final budget for the term of this government. We normally would have a budget in May, of course, but we're heading into an election in May, so it's now being held in the last Tuesday in March. We've heard that there'll be talk of some sweeteners around cost of living pressures and so on, but what do you expect we'll hear, and what should we be looking for?
The Treasurer has indicated that there'll be two main prongs to this budget. One is what he calls targeted and proportionate measures to help with the cost of living, and the other will be a start on fiscal repair and looking to stabilise and reduce debt over the medium term. Obviously, the cost of living measures will be primarily concern the ordinary voters, and there's been speculation about a one-off payment for lower and middle income earners. If that happened, then probably the low and middle income tax offset would go. So a bit of smoke and mirrors there. There's been speculation about something on petrol excise. Whether that happens or not is still unclear. There's a lot of pressure there. On the other hand, there are a lot of people who say that wouldn't be good policy. And also, of course, petrol prices just go up and down according to what's happening overseas. So we'll have to wait and see if there is anything in that area. I think that the government will want to have a very strong line also on dealing with debt in the medium term, because that's important to its own base, voters in its own base. But it's also something that's very important on the longer-term economic front. The government's lucky that in the short term it really has a quite good revenue situation, because you've had some booming commodity prices, and so that's giving a windfall in the shorter term, although there are pressures on the budget in the longer term. And also, if there's a change of government, Amanda, you can look forward to a second budget this year.
Yes, very exciting news.
So for journalists, they're very character-forming operations, trying to get across them and report them in those lock-ups. So the idea of two is, I'm not sure whether it's enticing or terrifying.
All right. Well, for now, Michelle, we'll just content ourselves with looking forward to Tuesday night. And thank you very much. Great to speak with you as always.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.